Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
And now, glad to finally see the first day of summer. Maybe these temperatures will start to rise finally. Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a hot and sticky yet busy Tuesday. Much to get to here in the program today.
Hot and sticky is going to be the theme for a little bit, seems like.
You think it is?
Yep.
You think that's where we're headed?
95 right now. Real feel 106. I think we're going to be this way for about a week.
I think you should head out for a jog, Kay.
I should as well.
Like a man of your stature.
I think just going to...
Good five-mile run sounds like a plan, doesn't it?
Just getting to my car is an issue. By the way, it's supposed to be 87 tomorrow, so...
Maybe that is better. Life is better. Some would even say life is better with a feather. You know,
it is.
That'd be our friends at CBD American Shaman who would say that. We're going to talk to Peter Vermees, manager for Sporting Kansas City, is going to join us. They got a big match. The semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup against Omaha tomorrow. Is it a must win when you get a couple divisions down? I think I heard Nate say Omaha's two divisions down from MLS. If that's who you're facing, is that a must win?
I'm
going to go ahead and answer that question and say yes, it is.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm trying to think of a possibility. I'm always looking for the side. No, that's a must win.
I don't know that Peter Vermees will agree, but I'm going to say yes, it is. Yes, it is. We're going to talk to Alec Lewis from The Athletic in the 3 o'clock hour. Tim Grunhard in the 4. Gooby, Mark Gubiza.
How about that?
Former Royal, former Angel, turned Angels color broadcaster. Mark Gubiza will join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Looking forward to that.
Talk about the fact that Anthony Rendon signing has not gone that, like, when the Angels sign a guy, he gets hurt.
Yes.
They signed Pujols, had been a rock. I mean, he was just getting old, but, you know, started missing games. Anthony Rendon has barely played, it seems like, for the Angels since signing on from the Washington Nationals. Shohei Ohtani missed, an entire season, right, or almost an entire season after inking with the Angels. And as soon as the mega deal was signed with Mike Trout, tore a calf muscle and was out almost an entire season.
He has not played more than 150 games since 2016.
The Angels have not won a playoff game since 2002?
Correct. They might have won one 05. I think they got to the...
Did they get in there?
Yeah. And I think it was the year that the White Sox won it. I think the Twins beat the Angels in the divisional series. So I don't think they've won a game since then.
Okay.
That's a long stretch.
By the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the ESPYs are back, Curtis, our Kansas City ESPYs, the honorary ESPYs. Voting is now open. We took your nominations. We listened to what you had to say. We have now gathered the nominees. It's time for you to vote, people. Go to 810WHB.com. You can click right there. It's right there on the front page. The honorary, easy for me to say, ESPYs. The voting is now open. You can cast your vote for the Sports Radio 810WHB honorary ESPYs. All kinds of great categories for you to choose from. We've got the male and female high school athlete of the year. All kinds of great. Give you the female athlete of the year. We'll throw some love to the ladies. First of all, Beatrice Culleton from St. Thomas Aquinas. You know,
I've actually seen her play.
When I started this, I didn't even give thought to the fact that I may not have any idea how to pronounce some of these names. So, ladies, I'm going to apologize if I make a mistake on your name. You saw her play for Aquinas?
I did. I saw her play against St. Michael the Archangel. That she can play.
Yes, female basketball player. She's headed to Oklahoma to play college basketball. Ann Deedy from my alma mater, Shawnee Mission East. Bella Field from Blue Valley. Anjali Hocker Singh from Olathe North. Ella Margheim from Olathe North. Julie Meismer, Blue Valley West. I'm going to throw both out there. I figure I got one of them. I'm hoping. Samaya Nichols from Shawnee Mission West. Sydney Watts from St. Thomas Aquinas. Those are your female high school athletes of the year. We've got our male high school athletes of the year. We've got, and that's for both Kansas and Missouri. That was obviously the Kansas side. We'll be throwing around all these names throughout the course of the next week or so. You can see them all at 810WHB.com. The male and female college athlete of the year, the KC Metro coach of the year, boys and girls Metro team of the year, the Kansas City fan of the year. Throw some love to some of our great fans. Pam Abramson, a great fan of the Kansas City Royals. Dwight Brownie Brown, fan of Bishop Miege. Brian Holland. I like Brownie. Brian Holland for the Kansas City Comets. Jason, James McGinnis for the Missouri Mavericks. Aaron Rose for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got our clutch performance, clutch moment of the year. You can vote on that one as well. I think I know, as I'm looking here at some of the video, where that will go.
Mm-hmm.
The Perseverance Award. The Kansas City Medical Professional of the Year. It is a time for you to cast your vote. Let's go, people. Support these great local athletes, great participants in our sports. We love being a part of this. The ESPN ESPYs are something that only a handful of cities get to do on a local basis. We, again, have been chosen for it. And I think we've been chosen for it for the same reason we were chosen for the World Cup, frankly. Nobody rallies around their city and their sports like Kansas City. And, you know, we've heard Cliff Illigby, you know, phrasing it for quite some time that in the effort to get to the World Cup, Kansas City was going to have to punch above its weight, which if you don't know what that phrase comes from, it's like a middle class, mm-hmm. middleweight fighter fighting a heavyweight fighter. That's what it means, standing toe to toe with someone much bigger. And I think that's what we do with these ESPN ESPYs as well. It's there that we've always impressed. And I think it just goes to show why we have the World Cup. Same kind of reason here, why we have these ESPN ESPYs for our great local athletes. And we really do hope you'll be a big participant in it. Please vote. Please tell all your friends, family about it. It is a great, great honor. And, of course, we're going to have a great award ceremony coming up. We'll have more details about that in the very near future, but where we will honor our ESPY award winner. So go to 810WHB.com. You can't miss it right there on the front page. Click on it. And you are off and running towards voting on these great, great people in and around our sports here on a local level.
Yeah, it isn't just you mentioned it there, not just the love of the sports this town has, but this town loves this town, which is an odd statement. But I think the sense of
quite
community,
poetic,
but the sense of community, I think. The other people, that's just something you see a lot in more in Midwest towns or big towns, but more in Kansas City than even other Midwest towns. This civic pride kind of spills over into a lot of other areas, and this is one of those where it really does.
You know how when if you go to New York and people wearing the I Heart NY shirts, they're normally tourists? People, the Heart Kansas City shirts are not worn by tourists to Kansas City. They're worn by people who live in Kansas City, which I don't think there's a better kind of way to encapsulate how people in Kansas City feel about their town, that they walk around like tourists would at a lot of other towns wearing shirts from that town.
Yeah, I would agree. It just goes to show our civic pride, and you have a chance to show it again and reward some great, great people in our local sports scene. So do it. Go to 810WHB.com and make sure you let all your friends and family know as well. Don't cost nothing to vote. And it's going to be a great honor for a lot of people. And like I said, coming up, we'll talk about how we're going to honor those recipients of the ESPN ESPYs. We're going to talk soccer in a minute with Peter Vermees. I do want to talk some Royals baseball before we get things going on the soccer side of things with the manager and sporting director for Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermees. The Royals actually are starting to get a little something done on the pitching side of things. You know, before Sam McDowell insisted upon pirating the topic yesterday and forcing me to recount the negatives of the Kansas City Royals, I'd ventured down the road. You can, if you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to the Hour One podcast at 810WHB.com, where I said, listen, some positives here. And we talked about the strikeout to walk numbers for the Royals pitchers here of late and the fact that, you know, Brady Singer on the year, 40-9, 40 strikeouts to 9 walks. 17-3, last two starts for Daniel Lynch. I think it was 15-4, was it?
Something like that.
Something in that range.
It was just under 4-1, my memory is correct.
Yeah. That were, you know, and that was for, who did I have? Singer, Lynch, and...
Bubich?
No. Heasley. Jonathan Heasley. And we were talking about, you know, basically, hey, have they found it, right? Like, I said, look, a lot of people have said, and I think there's ample reason. I'm not going to back off that. There's ample reason to be saying that the Royals need to change pitching coaches. I try to attack things from the idea that the people that make these decisions are not morons, and they haven't come to that conclusion. So what would it be, and is there a possible reason for it? We've gone round and round about that. But we, again, are looking at a good performance from Chris Bubich. And Chris Bubich's strikeout-to-walk ratio over his last three starts has now risen to 18-6. It's 3-1. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's all, you know, roses. First of those three, back on June 9th, 4 1/3, 4 earned. Then 5 1/3, 3 earned. But yesterday, 6 innings, 2 earned.
Yeah.
Progressively better, and the consistent theme is a strikeout-to-walk ratio that's where you want it, right? Early in the year, he was sitting at 5-9, 8-9, 8-11, 10-11, 13-14 strikeout to walk ratio before those last three games.
Yeah.
13 strikeouts, 14 walks. That's will not fly.
Nope.
There's one guy that I can remember being good who put up numbers like that. And he's the most underrated pitcher in the history of the Kansas City Royals.
Ah, yes.
Al Fitzmaurice.
Yes.
Was the only one. But that was at a time that the ball just did not travel like mm-hmm. it does now. The hitters didn't swing for the fences like they did now. Al Fitzmaurice pitched to contact in a time that you could pitch to contact.
In a gigantic ballpark.
In a gigantic ballpark that would hold the home run, and with great defense behind him, he pitched to what his team's strengths were. This game of baseball, they will punish you. And if you're putting guys on and not able to erase batters without them getting the bat on the ball, you will not last in the big leagues. This is a significant. What I saw yesterday out of Chris Bubich is significant for what the Royals are trying to do. And if you've gotten to the point that you said, hey, Cal Eldred's got to go, and now nothing is going to deter you from that because you don't want to admit that, well, maybe that was premature or maybe you were wrong. Listen, let me just tell you, you don't have to say, well, I guess I was wrong if I say they're doing better. They're just doing better now.
Yeah. No qualifiers.
And I will offer up that we've been the discontent in this town has been growing louder and louder. And I will tell you that I do not believe that the Kansas City Royals win the World Series in 15 without the discontent growing to a fever pitch during the course of 2012 and the first half of 2014 when the Royals were disappointing. Without that, I don't think the message is sent that this is not good enough to the entire organization. And you don't have to sit and grump and be like, well, Cal Eldred still sucks, or they're doing it in spite of him. Maybe, fine, whatever it is. Just don't miss the ride. If they are starting to turn the corner, and like I said, today, more evidence that at the big league level, we can talk about the minor leagues in a little bit, but at the big league level, they're starting to make some adjustments and starting to make some progress. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think Chris Bubich's start can go unnoticed.
I'll give you one really good stat. Talk about the trend line of those individual pitchers. First 34 games, Royals starting pitchers had two outings with seven strikeouts. Both were by Daniel Lynch. Both were in April. Last 10 games, they've had four. They've had twice as many in the last 10 games as they had the first 38. And before that 10 games, there was a 41-game stretch where they had two. They've doubled that in the last week and a half.
Yeah. I think progress is being made.
Yeah.
And whether it's just this has been the message of Cal Eldred all along, and this is how long it took these young pitchers to get it, whether it's the fact that these young pitchers aren't heralded as these, oh, look, here's the next great wave, which is what happens. I watch it every time there's they're just the best. And then all of a sudden they get booed a little, and it hurts, it stings, mm-hmm. because their entire baseball career hasn't been about winning. Their entire baseball career has been about advancing to the next level. And what happened around them and being a part of success, which usually they're good enough, and they play on a travel team, and that travel team's really good, and the best teams get the best players. So they're used to winning. But when it doesn't happen, and there's consequences, and not everybody's kissing your ass all the time, it stings. And maybe that's the wake-up call. Maybe that's the last piece of development. That you get booed from three decks, albeit mostly empty, but still three decks when you suck at this level. I don't know. I don't really care. They're pitching better, and that's a good thing for the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk more Royals baseball with Alec Lewis coming up next hour. Let's talk some soccer. Omaha coming in. You can get your tickets at SportingKC.com. Semifinals. We're to the semifinals. Omaha up next for Sporting Kansas City. Semis. Is it quarters? Am I already? Yeah, it is quarters. Because I keep looking at I've already advanced them. That's the problem. Because it's LA Galaxy and against Sacramento on the other side. And so is it a must win? It's a must win because I've already put them in the semis.
Ew.
You've already put them in the semis, so I apologize for making that mistake. You are right. It's a quarter. I've got because there's four teams, right? But I've already got them there. It already says Sporting on my bracket. That's why it's a must win. I wrote it in pen.
And it just highlights the must win-ish.
That's right.
Winishness of this match.
I was getting ready to be like, settle down. Like, you're told. No. You're absolutely right. I can even see the bracket right there. We'll talk about it with Peter Vermees coming up next here in the program.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some soccer. It's brought to you, of course, by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzer. Of course, if you're looking to get that beach bod on, zero carbs, zero sugars in those Corona Hard Seltzers. Look for it wherever you buy your Coronas. We talk now to the manager of Sporting Kansas City, sporting director as well. Peter Vermees joins us here in the program. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Siren. Always appreciate being on the show, buddy.
Well, it's always good to have you, and we always enjoy the conversation for sure. And you know, especially after a win, we seem to be the finding the good times to grab you. And this was a match that I know was of a lot of importance. You could tell from the broadcast that there was a feeling that this is one that you felt like you had to stick your flag in the ground. How important was this one?
I think it was. For a number of reasons. I think that we're getting some guys back. I'm not going to tell you they're fully fit, but we're at least getting bodies back. And we got to start getting that group of guys into a rhythm and getting back to the way that our style of play is. Because, you know, I think there's a reason why we have been extremely competitive over, 10 plus years in this league. Obviously players, but it's also style of play. And because of all the changes that we've had to make for the entire season so far, that inconsistency and having to play players out of position regularly has not helped our style of play. And the fact that we got more consistency on the field the other day was really important in two things. One was now you're getting those guys out there. At the same time, they got to start playing the way you want to play. And if they get a result, they feel a lot better about that. And the fact that they did, when that team hasn't lost in that stadium, hasn't lost the last 25 home games, for us to be able to do that is another little, confidence builder.
Tell me, you never apologize for a win. Certainly, offensively, you get two long strike goals, which are both of them, fantastic. But because you don't get the beautiful touch and tap it in, type of goal when it is a long strike. Is that, in any way, hey guys, we still got to do better, right? Like, nice job, nice shots. But, we still got to be a little bit more clinical. We're not going to win just by bombing from outside. Is there any?
Yeah, it's actually a good question, but I'll break it down really quickly.
Okay.
The first goal, it's what I call an opportunistic goal, because when you're playing free kicks from wide spots or from longer distances, the biggest idea is to, and especially if you're trying to play something in and around goal, you want to make sure that the person who's serving frames the goal, because a lot of times there's players making runs, right? And sometimes they are early, sometimes they're late. Sometimes they get nudged at the last second. And in this situation, the goalkeeper is paying attention to all the runs, and he's not sure if the guy's going to head it or not. And the fact that the ball's framed on the goal, that's why it's scored, right? And so it's a very opportunistic goal, but it's something that you plan for. It's something that you're trying to make sure that detail is covered. Because if he doesn't hit it on goal, then it goes out of bounds for a goal kick. So that's the first goal. The second goal, what you have to take from that goal is, yeah, it's a great wonder strike from a great position. And, you know, it's not like Goose hasn't hit that same shot before or something relatively similar. But what I would say is that for probably about 60, 70 minutes of that game, we were really, really good possession-wise. We had good build-up. The guys were confident. They weren't – you could tell, like, sometimes when a guy receives the ball, you know, you're looking at the guy, he's almost shaking a little bit, like he's a little nervous. You can sense it. Whereas our guys were really confident. And so that was a build-up to that goal, which I would say those are kinds of situations that we are looking for, and especially when a team like them has three – so they play with five in the back. So they got three in the middle. So you have to start hitting balls from distance to sort of entice them to come out of that shell a little bit once you get into their half of the field. And I thought, you know, once we scored that second goal, we now put ourselves in a position for them to have to start coming out and pressing the game a little bit more, which hopefully we could find as the third goal as well.
And I certainly didn't mean, and I know you didn't take it that way, to diminish the shots. They were great, and I get the goalie, you know, having to worry about so many different things on a set piece like that. So it's great execution. I guess the question, a better way to phrase my question would be, is there still work to be done offensively? Can you still be more precise?
I understand your question, but I think there always is. But there's also different ways for different opponents, the way that, you know, you're going to beat them. And sometimes it has to do with personnel, but a lot of times it has to do with what their game plan is in their formation, right? So like I was saying, if they're playing five in the back, boy, I'm going to tell you, you could have a rough day on service into the box because those three guys, they're probably not really leaving the frame or at least the 6-yard box, you know, area. They're just going to be in there to defend any service coming into the box. So the fact that we were in a position to strike some distance was actually, you know, the correct solution to the situation that we were, you know, facing with their back line.
How important is it and how much of a lift does it give you to get the win at Nashville, a place that people, they had one of the longest unbeaten streaks. It was great to see, I think, the Wizards up in front of them, you know, going all the way back in Sporting Kansas City's history. But one of the longest unbeaten streaks at home in a long time. How much of a boost does that give your club?
Yeah, look, you know, we have a pretty good record of doing that at a lot of places. We did it in Houston. I think we did it in Atlanta, you know, so, I mean, we've done it in quite a few places. I think that at least for right now, like I think right now we got to get and take as many little successes that we can to help build confidence, because obviously we're on the back half of the season now and we got to make the push.
Speaking of getting a boost, Daniel Shaoui coming back. How does that, he's back early. How does that conversation go? Does he ask to come back? Do you reach out and say, listen, if you're not going to play him, you know, send him home? How did that come about?
So we, you know, we pay attention to those games for all of our players when they go away. So as soon as we see that they're not, we always say, hey, look, if you guys are not going to, if he's not in your plan, so an example is we're really signed up at the moment, we really could use the player back. They usually almost always say no. And then we just left it at that. But then Daniel himself, I think, went to them and basically asked if, hey, if I'm not going to be used in this next game, I would love to go back. And so it's always going to mean a lot more when the player comes to you. But I had no discussion with Daniel about that. He did it on his own. And it's huge for us to get him back early, because he was able to train all week long with us, which was an important aspect, because a lot of times, I've told you this in the past, you know, when a player goes away for his national team, more than likely he plays, you know, a different style than what we play. So they get turned around a little bit. You got to sort of reset the compass when they get back here. And so having that week of training leading up was really important.
So it isn't, you don't call up and go, hey, from one Hungarian to another?
I've tried that in the past, and unfortunately, that hasn't helped me.
You know, I get it if you're calling, you know, Spain or, you know, but hey, you got to be like, hey, help a brother out here, man. Like, you know, what's going on?
You would think.
Yeah, yeah. Love it.
The only problem is their coach is German. so that's the problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's their fault, I guess. I'll have to tell my buddy George that. You know, he'll love hearing that it's a German coach there in Hungary. He's German, of course. That's why I bring that up. Did things start to turn? I know the New England match didn't go the way you wanted ultimately, but to be down 1-0, get a red card, and it had to be a very disappointing, losing that 1 point to get the draw, but to get the red card and then to get the tying goal with Johnny's shot and then, play it all the way to the final minutes. Did that take more to get the guys back up, or did that really maybe boost the team as far as, hey, look, this is what we can do when we got 10 men, when we got 11, we should be able to handle business.
I think, you actually bring up a really good point. I would say in that game, right, and I think you guys even think back to the Vancouver game the same way, and that is, like, Vancouver had one shot on goal, mm-hmm. and it was a penalty kick, and they won 1-0. And I think they realized that, look, we've made these mistakes that ultimately cost us a result. And we're doing it to ourselves, not because of this great play by the other team. And so our level of concentration and our decision-making has to improve immensely and immediately. And we, as well as the coaching staff, also have spent some more time on, foundational aspects of the game. So an example of that would be is that it is incredibly important that your back line is compact east to west and north to south. And what that means is if north to south is goal to goal, obviously east to west, sideline to sideline, is that when the ball is like going backward, meaning the other team has it and they play it backwards to keep possession, or they play it back to the keeper, that we set the line, the back line, with the rest of the team. And there shouldn't be really more than 35 yards between our center forward and the last guy on the back line, which would be the two central defenders. And then, conversely, when the ball is out wide, that everybody connects that way as well. And it sounds like a simple thing, but players get lazy, right? Or they don't think that in that moment it's dangerous. It's a dangerous situation, so I cheat a little bit. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and the guy plays the ball through where you should have been, but you weren't. And so I think that the players themselves realize that in those two games. Obviously, we realize it as staff. But, I say this all the time, the analogy would be, people talk about player development all the time, and they always say, it's coaching, or it's like the drop. At the end, player development comes down to the player. If the player wants it, he's going to get better as a player. Obviously, you need some people around you to help you. But at the end, if the player doesn't have the motivation, it's not going to work. The same thing here. The players truly understand that they're making mistakes because of concentration, decision making, and they realize that it's got to change immediately. And so I think we've worked on that, and there's this newfound respect for themselves to understand, hey, this is what matters. And if we can knock this out, like stop this from happening, we can score goals. We can do other things in games that can help us get results. And I think that's more of the mentality.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Before I get to the match with Omaha, I'm going to get your reaction to the news that the MLS is moving to Apple. I get it. It's a lot more money for the league, and the sports are business, and that's a big part of the equation. But it's also, and I know what I've read, it seems like there's going to be some, I'm not going to say over the air, but at least cable broadcasts as well, that at least there's ongoing negotiations about a package of games being on ESPN and a package of games being on Fox as well. But a large majority is going to Apple. The hometown television broadcast is going away. It's going to be one broadcast for both teams. That would seem to be a cost-saving venture there, or maybe it's a philosophy. Just what's your reaction to hearing, and do you even know all the details of this new deal with the MLS and Apple?
It's funny you bring this up, because I actually get on two Zoom calls this week, later in the week, regarding this. So I would say, no, I don't have all the details. My first take on it is, let's just forget for a second, you know, where it's being, you know, streamed or played on. The first thing I like is that there's not going to be a blackout. That concept doesn't even fly with me anymore this day and age. I think the end, you want to watch the game on TV and go to the stadium, either way, you're watching the game, and you shouldn't be able to do that, especially if you pay for it or get that channel. So the fact that there's going to be no blackouts and you'll be able to see every game in the league, kind of like what they used to have, where there was this like MLS package that you could buy on cable and you get all the games, that I'd like a lot. And I think fans like that a lot as well. I'm not going to say that I'm the guy that understands all the stuff in regards to different platforms that you can do this on and where the whole entire industry is moving. But I think we would both agree that all the apps, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, what have you, Apple, ESPN Plus, all those things are there for a reason. And then Apple TV, and like any other one of those platforms, is always looking for content. So this could be a huge move as we move into this new era of, you know, how we watch things on our TVs. So again, not knowing all the details, that part of it I think is pretty interesting. I love the fact there's no blackout. When you go to the broadcasting, I think that remains to be seen. I think that we've taken our broadcast in comparison to all the other venues in Major League Soccer this year to another level with, we're using this organization called Kyron Hagel, and you know, we're able to do all the spotlighting and distance between players and data tracking. And so I think it's enhanced our broadcast, and we've been moving in that direction because we felt that it needs to be better. And it's not just ours, that league-wide it needs to be better. I think the league realizes that as well, and I think that's maybe why they're pooling it into one place so that they can hone all those resources there. I don't know what that then does to the overall, you know, storyline. And, you know, a lot of times when Nate does our games, and so there's Jake and Allie, and, you know, they're here watching training, they're here talking to us, they're finding out, you know, background information, which I think helps the telecast. I don't think you'll be able to do that when everybody's out of one place.
Yeah, and that's going to be it'll be a work in progress, and I think if Sporting Kansas City has anything to say about it, it'll be something that gets better and better each year over 10 years. So I am optimistic, and the MLS has been very forward thinking on a lot of things. I'm sure there are things that you're like, oh yeah, well, let me tell you a couple things. I always say, I don't care who, you know, what your job is, how much you like your job. At every job, we're all taking a bite of the dump sandwich, right? It's just a matter of how big a bite do they make you take and how much sauce do they give you to help it go down. And you know, I think they've been very forward thinking there at the MLS. And so I give them the benefit of the doubt that this will work, but I do worry, you know, the NHL left ESPN for more money to go to NBC, and, you know, then came back this next time. Now I'd have to go back and look at the deals, but there was kind of a feeling that the NHL was, you know, said, hey, we lost kind of like some of our momentum and luster by not being on ESPN. And I mean, I wonder aloud, is ESPN so big that it has to be a part of your plan?
But don't you also think sometimes like an example would be is, and this is just part of the conversation, but like if you're the NHL and you know that you're not really the one of the main guys on there, or you're not getting the kind of play that you'd like to get, whether it be just to talk around the game, not even a game that per se, but you get a couple shows to, you know, mm-hmm. incite curiosity and all those other things. If you're not getting that space, then maybe you get that on another platform. Now you get that on the other platform, and now it grows a little bit. Now the other guy comes back and says, hey, we'll give you some more opportunity. Like, we don't really get that where we are today. And right. So for me, I think I got to assume, right? Again, I don't know all the details, but I got to assume that you need more discussion. You need more you know, shows where you're talking about, hey, what occurred? Hey, this guy, how did they miss that play on VAR? And let's look at it for 30 minutes like, you know, the NFL does or the NHL does or the NBA does, looks at a play and they just, you know, beat it into the ground. But to me, that's what creates curiosity around the game, attracts viewers. And then the other is that I also think you have to have people that are talking about the game that create, you know, in our game, you know, we call it, you know, derby, right? We're trying to create those games that are people want to watch, and it's not just your team fans and the other team's fans, but it becomes something that everybody wants to see. I think those games are important to start creating that kind of environment, and I hope that you can do that in something like this, and then maybe it spurs something later on down the line.
My reaction is yes, absolutely, and I would be, and I'm optimistic that you will get that with Apple, because MLS handles is in charge of the broadcast, right? Apple just is really the technology pipeline, and while everyone, and I've seen a lot of people kind of maybe dinging, you know, well, look, MLS has got to pay for all the production. Yeah, but they're in charge of the production as well, which means it can be everything that you want it to be. And then Apple just pipes it into the home. So yes, I'm very optimistic and encouraged that shows like that are going to come up, or even a, you know, an F1 Drive to Survive type. I know how big that's been for growing Formula One, you know, behind the scenes, you know, following on game day and getting inside and getting people a chance to know the players, know the managers, know the participants, and really get to know the cultures of the clubs. Yes, I'm very optimistic that it will happen. It's got to be done, but I think it would be great for the sport.
Yeah, I agree everything what you said there. I would add just one thing. I think the one thing that the NFL and the NBA do, and that is when you, like the thing that's going on, you know, this, and again, whether it's a big thing or it's not a big thing, but it is being talked about. You have the Charles Barkley comment about Durant, right? Durant responds. And you have this little thing going on. But what the interesting thing for me around that is not that the – it's not actually, you know, that they're going back and forth right now, which really I have a lot of respect for. And that is when the players of the NFL are done playing and now they go and they commentate, right? Or they go on some, you know, they're a pundit, whatever they wind up doing, and they're talking about the game. Same thing in the NBA. Those guys are honest. They're honest about what their opinion is. What they don't say is they're like, just because I played against that guy, now I left the game. They'll sit there and go, well, you know, he's a really good player, but he's just having a bad day. They're like, hey, that guy's having a shocker. He's not playing well. You know, they may have to bring the other guy in. You know, like, they're on it. And I really respect and appreciate that, because that's what they're there for, right? You know, when you're watching the telecast and you got the homers, and all they ever do is they sit there and say, great, you know, they're, the team's playing terrible, they're losing, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, they're playing pretty well. I don't think, you know, people are smart. They know what's going on. And that's why I like those sports. I think we in our league, I think we need more of that, which then again creates a little bit of back and forth, which people then latch on to that stuff.
Transfer window. We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Help on the way. You know, a couple of guys going to be added to this roster.
Yeah, look, I mean, I say to you that, look, we definitely have something with the two players that have been discussed. The problem is that we have two hurdles to overcome. One is their work visa, which right now is obviously in its stages and process, which there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that part, you have to get your work visa. If we don't get a work visa, then, you know, the player can't play here. So that's the first piece. And the second is that we still have to go through the medical, because once the player gets his work visa, he comes, does his medical. If all that is good, then we got at least two players coming our way, and, you know, there's possibly a third as well.
Okay. U.S. Open Cup, the match coming up tomorrow night. Of course, people can get tickets. Go to sportingkc.com against Omaha. It's not an MLS club. Does that make this a must-win for your team?
No. I think must win for finals. And I say that because look what you play for, what you want to win. These guys have already beaten a couple teams, MLS, already to get here. So But for us, what it is I would say it's a competition that it's very obvious because, you know, as many times as we've won it, we take it incredibly serious. Every opportunity to win a trophy matters to us. And this is a huge opportunity. What we don't do is we are not walking onto the field. I don't care if it's a second division, a third division. I really don't care. We're not taking that game lightly. We understand who we're playing against. We understand that this is a huge game for them. And what we can't do is walk out onto the field and be outcompeted. We can't have a lack of concentration. We can't assume that this is going to happen. We have to go and be, the team that goes in, puts our stamp on the game from the opening whistle. And that's important to us. And that would be the same thing if we were playing an MLS team. I know this competition all too well, not only as a coach, but I know this competition in, four different countries. I played in this competition, obviously, the United States. I played this competition in Hungary, Holland, and Spain, because it's the same everywhere, this cup. And so it's a difficult competition. You're playing against teams that, like this is their World Cup final. That's the way they're playing. So we are not going to go into this game underestimating our opponent. We're going to go into play. And we're going to do everything we can to try to win it.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Time for our final four quickies brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of Kansas Athletics, together with LMH Health. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Peter, I will start you with this. Is Rutgers going to the Big Ten when they made that move? Has that been the right decision for Rutgers? Your alma mater, by the way.
I'll probably say probably.
Is that a definitely? Probably.
It'll play itself out, but I probably think so.
Okay. We'll see where it goes in the long run. Besides Sporting Kansas City, who has the best uniforms in MLS?
Wow, I didn't think about that stuff. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
You know, I like LA Galaxy all white uniform. I like that. I think it's classy.
Okay. I like that. That's good. I saw that the other night. That was a good look too. I agree with you. We're kind of uniform nerds here in the program. So I'd like to see if anybody else is paying attention. All right. Who wins the World Cup right now? We'll give you time to change, but who do you think ultimately wins this 22 World Cup?
I'm going to pick Argentina.
Okay. All right. That'll be interesting. That would be long overdue for Lionel Messi, obviously, for that to come home. So that'd be a great story. And finally, and probably most importantly, there was an argument here. What's better, the Triscuit or the Wheat Thin?
I'll probably have to go with the Triscuit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hardier. It's sturdier. It goes with more things. I agree. Thank you. I had people telling me, we're going to have a gallon of water to drink with the Triscuit. Then get a gallon of water, for God's sake. It's a better cracker. Thank you.
I think most people are saying the Wheat Thin because they want to feel like they're healthy.
I thought there was. I gave it a 5% chance. You'd be like, "Have another cracker in 20 years. I don't eat carbs." So I'm glad you had an answer. I'm proud of you.
All right.
Yeah. You know, have you had a cracker in the last 20 years?
Yeah, I have. I mean, you know what? I like a good charcuterie board. To be honest with you.
Okay. Sure, absolutely.
I do. I love prosciutto and salami and cheese, and I love that stuff.
I agree. That's as good as it gets. Even just like take the meat tray. Our buddies at Hen House make a great meat tray. I'm ready to go. I love that. It's one of the best things I can find at a party. All right, enough about what I like to eat, Peter. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Best of luck with Omaha, and we will talk again soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it, buddy.
Our thanks to Peter Vermees. Always a good conversation with the manager, sporting director for Sporting Kansas City.
He's off to get a box of Triscuits.
Triscuits to eat with his charcuterie,
I'm with him on that, man.
Well, I appreciate that he answered the question, but I did get a sense that, like, the man hasn't had a cracker for a while.
Probably not.
You know? He was too busy, giving a stern look to the box. Does anybody prowl the sidelines?
He does.
Better. Bill Self
He has some great reaction shots.
Bill Self has some great ones with the what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know? And then I always enjoy when the team's not playing well and he gets after him with the hand starts covering the mouth, but the head's bobbing around. Those are always strong.
Yeah. He didn't have the jacket remove thing that Roy Williams said. The jacket's come off. That's Roy's upset now.
Oh, yeah. There is no better than, by the way, that is the worst attempt at a fly ball. If they don't go back and show that again, Texas A&M went up for one, and the guy dives and he puts his hand over the fence like he's going for it over the fence. It lands behind his head. It hits the wall behind his head.
He went Kerry Robinson.
not quite that bad.
Not quite climbing the fence.
I didn't understand what the reaching on over the wall was when you're not even in line with the ball.
Wow.
But anyway, I digress.
Hit him in the
head. No, but Peter Vermees, that the scowl, is there anything better than the blank me?
Oh, yeah.
Blank me? Blank me?
It was blank off.
Yeah, blank off.
Blank off?
Blank off. Blank off.
The debate is which one of them was best. I like the second one, the middle one, because he moves backwards when he does it. It's like he said it so intently, his body shifted backwards.
It's like it recoiled.
Yeah.
It had such a force to it.
Let me bring up a story from earlier this week, Sarin. If it were Peter Vermees saying, "Hey, settle down, buddy," to you at the gas pump, you would just probably say, "Sorry, sir."
And, I would.
Right?
The look, yeah. I'd have looked around there. But, you know, somebody told me to settle down at the gas pump. Who does that?
Peter Vermees.
Who tells someone to settle down at the gas pump?
He has an
initial. Because I know what
I'm telling you, though, if it was Peter Vermees, you would go, "Sorry, sir, let me fill your tank up for you."
Yeah. And I know what somebody's saying. Well, why would someone have to tell you to settle down? Just think that through. If you had that thought, then would you, whatever that person was doing, would you actually tell that person that you think needs to settle down, hey, settle down?
Yes. If I walked into a fast food restaurant and a guy was spinning around with his arms extended going, "Bah!" I wouldn't say, "Dude, what is your problem?
This is
inappropriate." I'm like, "I guess I'll go somewhere else."
You're like, who knows what's next for this guy?
Whatever has happened to that guy, he cannot be reached with logic.
Yeah.
I'm going to go someplace else.
Yeah. Big match for Sporting Kansas City with Omaha to get to the semifinals, right? I had already advanced them there, but to get to the semifinals, which then could be, listen, not all the, I always think this is a great opportunity. And they've won this cup. Three times, I think.
Is it three? I trust you.
I think maybe just three under Vermees, but I thought they had another Vermees. I thought so.
Okay. But, you know, what it gets you into in the other tournaments is always important. And I think it's important for this team to keep winning. Yeah, I think that was a big win for them. A couple of long-range strikes to get it done, but I think – I don't know. I like where the team's kind of starting to head, and they're going to get some help. As he said, during the transfer window, I think that could be big for Sporting Kansas City. All right, we'll shift gears. We'll get back into the Royals. Alec Lewis is in Omaha. Now he's in Omaha. We'll talk Royals with him next.
All right, who pitched the first National League perfect game of the 20th century? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.